Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of PI Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on PI Industries Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Mayank Sandhu, Executive Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rajnish Sarna, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Manikantan Viswanathan, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Prashant Hegde, CEO Domestic, and Mr. Atul Gupta, CEO Exports. We will begin the call with key perspectives from Mr. Singhal. Thereafter, we will have Mr. Manikantan sharing his views on the financial performance of the company. After that, the forum will be open for question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to underline certain statements that may be made on today's conference call could be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the investor presentation, which has been shared with you earlier and also available on stock exchange websites. I would now like to invite Mr. Singhal to share his perspectives with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Nishid. Welcome everyone, and thank you for your participation today. The macro environment continues to remain challenging, characterized by resurgence of COVID-19 cases in many parts of the world, high inflation, sustained rise in input costs, uncertainties around availability of critical inputs, currencies fluctuations, et cetera. The food security for a growing global population at affordable price continues to be under threat owing to climate changes, impacts of the ongoing war, particularly when the arable land is also shrinking. Therefore, the need for assured yields and higher farm productivity per acre is only growing, making the role of agri input interest very critical and important. Against this backdrop of the operating environment, I'm happy to report that PI delivered yet another strong performance in Q1 2023. The expansion came despite the challenging just above and high base of last year in the CSM exports. While the overall growth was mainly led by volume and scale, the price correction on account of increased costs and favorable product mix, currency, et cetera, have also contributed to the growth. I once again thank all the PI team members for their customer centricity and our business partnership, continued support and trust of our relationships. Traction in the new inquiries in the CSM exports continued, with the significant numbers also coming from the non-agchem space. There's a good buildup of rich pipeline in more than 40 products at different development stages, out of which a substantial number are non-agchem products. We're targeting to commercialize seven new core molecules during the current fiscal year, or one has already been done in Q1. Delayed onset of the monsoon, late pickup in the sowing of the key crops as reflected in the growth of our domestic revenues, which do not witness much of volume uptick. Although we benefited from favorable product mix during the quarter, we successfully launched new herbicide Provide and an insecticide Dino Ace for cotton and a combination of fungicide Sectin for horticulture. We systematically are rolling out a crop solutions approach, which already offers one of the most comprehensive portfolios for key crops. We are augmenting our portfolio in biologicals with a strong pipeline in place. We're excited about the whole slew of products in the launch coming shortly. Brofia, a new generation broad-spectrum insecticide. Ultimar, a long-duration insecticide under our G-Agro portfolio, and our double growth engine focusing on horticulture. In addition to crop solutions, we continue to leverage our deep marketing penetration, engage with over 3 million farmers with digitization and farm application services. Our constant endeavor to help farmers improve through one-stop shop, easy eco-friendly solutions and services. We are building a greener and more sustainable tomorrow. We strive to develop transformative solutions by helping advanced technologies and chemistries. Last but not least, we are investing to create digital growth platforms through an integrated approach and programs. We are not just deploying state-of-the-art models of ERP and analytical tools, but aiming to create a long-term sustainable digital edge. The work we have undertaken to scale our presence in next-gen technology and advanced chemistries will help us apart with the industry. Our business outlook remains robust for confident delivering 20-plus revenue growth in 2023, with continued improvements in margin and returns. Manufacturing activities remain impacted by persistent inflationary trends triggered by rising energy costs and supply chain interruptions. We, as always, generate to optimize its own performance in the given circumstances by way of improving the product mix line, better productivity and efficiencies. Diversification agencies in non-organic routes remain a top agenda for the technology and scale. We are actively evaluating various opportunities both in India and globally to zero down on a few that could meet the objective to create a sustainable differentiated value proposition. We are proud as an industry and customer climates, as announced earlier, PS has been conferred the Corporate Award 2022 for outstanding performance by Dun & Bradstreet on the top 500 in India. We also won the Golden Peacock Quality Award, showing a commitment of excellence of high quality. Let me now thank all the stakeholders for their contribution, and I would like to hand over to Manikantan to take over the financial performance, and we look forward to a good year ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sundar. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us on the call today. I'll be summarizing the financial highlights of the company for the fourth quarter ended 30th June 2022. Please note that all these comparisons are on a year-on-year basis and refer to the consolidated performance. During Q1 FY21, we reported a revenue of rupees 15,432 million, a growth of 29% over the same period of last year. This was driven by growth in exports revenue by 42% to rupees 11,421 million, and 4% increase in domestic revenue to rupees 4,011 million. The export revenue growth of 42% was driven by volume growth of around 30%, coupled with favorable price and currency of around 12%. Domestic revenue growth was mainly driven by the price. The trend of elevated input costs continued during the quarter, although the effective partial pass-through by increasing product prices both in exports as well as in domestic. Our gross margin increased by 8 basis points in Q1 to 44%, partially due to cost pass-through and favorable product mix, which negated the impact of the rising input cost. EBITDA increased by 39% to record rupees 3,495 million for the quarter, driven by efficient supply chain management, operational efficiency, and tight control on fixed overhead. Profit after tax increased by 40% to rupees 2,624 million on account of lower effective tax rate. Net cash flow from operating activities during quarter one was rupees 1,915 million. Our balance sheet further strengthened during the quarter. Net worth increased to rupees 53,497 million. Total capex for Q1 stood at 506 million. For this year, we estimate a capex of around 5,000 million. Inventory level increased by rupees 1,522 million compared to previous quarter to avoid supply chain disruption and meet customer supply schedule and continued operation. Trade working capital in terms of days of sales has remained relatively flat at 102 days, versus 103 days as on March 31, 2022. The company maintained a strong liquidity position with surplus cash net of ECB of Rs. 23,116 million, including KIPIC revenue. That concludes my opening commentary. I will now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We would also request participants to please limit your questions to two at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. My first question is, you know, Mayank, your commentary was very upbeat on the growth prospects. So just, you know, if you can help us understand that, what are the factors that are driving this strong visibility and what implication it has on our organic capex plans?
Thanks, Aditya. So, the key factors driving this growth are, one is the, you know, volume scale up of some of our existing CSM exports products. The other factor is, of course, that the pace of launching these new molecules has picked up in last couple of quarters, and obviously these new products are also kind of scaling up as their registrations and their demands are picking up in different geographies. But yes, in general, the demand upbeat is there from these global customers, which is certainly helping the uptake in the growth and demand of the CSM exports. This is certainly also kind of reflecting in our efforts in terms of capacity optimization as well as enhancement. So while on optimization front, in last few quarters, we have been already giving the commentary that we are putting in a lot of efforts in terms of increasing the throughput efficiencies. Last year, we improved by close to 15% or so. This year, that effort has continued, so that is helping in terms of utilizing that. In addition, given the significantly better visibility, we have already in the recent board meeting decided to increase our capex plan, and we are now considering close to 650 odd crores of investment in the current financial year.
Thanks for the reply, sir. So my second question is on this acquisition that we have been, you know, talking about it. Any areas that you have, you know, shortlisted, and, you know, in the past you have also indicated that, you know, the geographies can be overseas. So if you are looking for overseas, what kind of, asset it could be, in the sense that will it have a manufacturing base overseas? So any update on the, you know, acquisition area, sir?
Yes, so we have very much, identified, screened, and then you can appreciate that in M&A there are, lengthy processes. So we have, done the long list, short list, screened, evaluated, and now we are zero downing on certain opportunities, both in India as well as outside India, and actively evaluating them. But yes, this process takes its own time, but we are very actively working in the direction that we have set for ourselves.
Yes, sir. If it is the overseas, would it mean that it should have manufacturing facilities in overseas geography?
Yes. So So in terms of what we are looking at, obviously we are looking at good set of products, regulatory approved sites, portfolio of good set of customers. Obviously, I mean, these are the things that we are looking at in these opportunities, and of course the pipeline of products, and what kind of synergy and, leveraging we can achieve by combining our organic efforts that we are already making inside PI, with combining with these entities, potential entities.
Perfect, sir. That's it from my side, sir. All the best. I'll join back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Continuing on the CSM side, you did alluded towards, elevated CapEx. And earlier in the call, we had mentioned of, the tech-led initiatives which will increase our asset turns here. So are the full benefits behind us, or there could be, decent uptick further here, over the next, let's say, 1 to 2 years?
No, we are still, working on many of these initiatives. Some have fructified, some is still in the process, which we are expecting to realize in the coming years, also in the second half of current year. So yeah, there are multiple initiatives we have taken in terms of increasing the throughput of our existing plants, and we are still to get some of these benefits realized.
Sure. And sir, secondly, in the PPT, we do mention, around 5-6 odd products to be commercialized. Sorry, 7 products to be commercialized this financial year in the CSM space. If you could broadly highlight in terms of, what could be the size potential, whether these are existing customers that we are, launching, against whom we are launching this, or there is addition of newer customers or geographies as well?
Yes, obviously, as you know, we are working with most of all the global innovators, so there will be some business from the existing customers, and obviously there are some in the non-anchor space which are there. Clearly the potential and size, then the early stages, and I think those are wrapped up with different opportunities and scales as we have new generation products that take their own time and shape to come up, as you've seen historically, as a 3 to 5 year timeline. But obviously there are decent sized opportunities which we are excited about. That's how I would like to put it for now.
Which is also, Ankur, even the initial screening, all these aspects are very thoroughly assessed. That what is their future potential, what kind of size, what kind of scale that these products are expected to go globally. And only then, once they meet our desired expectation, then they, we take them forward in the next scale, next stage and all. So yeah, these aspects are also assessed during the initial screening itself.
Sure. So just a follow-up here. So does it mean, our earlier guidance was around 20-odd% growth on the CSM side, and given the increase in CAPEX and, your positive commentary, any revised thoughts there?
Yeah, so last time we had indicated 18 to 20%, but given the current rate and also the visibility, we are certainly expecting to do better. It should be certainly 20% plus. But at the same time, I must also caution that, in fact, we all should be cautioned of the current scenario, global scenario that we have. Every day we hear different news, whether it is about the, war-related uncertainties or COVID-related uncertainties. So we always, want to be very cautious in our commentary that while we see good opportunities of exceeding our guidelines, but we are cautious, and therefore we are very, very cautiously indicating on 20% plus kind of growth rate.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, and congrats on a good set of numbers. So first question is, we've been saying that we're building manufacturing capabilities for electronic chemicals. So where are we currently, and when do we expect any commercialization of products from this particular segment? Thank you.
We, as we reported last time, that we already commercialized a couple of products last year. This year also we are scaling them up. In terms of building capacity, again, we are working on that project. Maybe I request Atul to kind of briefly give some commentary on that.
So we are building.
Yeah.
So as I said that, you know, we are expanding the capacities for, you know, the electronic chemicals at a commercial scale as well as at the pilot scale to, you know, upgrade the infrastructure. And there are good amount of molecules in pipeline. And as you know, Mr. Sarna said that last year we did, you know, scaled up the molecules to a commercial scale. And we do have planned, you know, for a couple of molecules to scale up in this year as well. Thank you.
That we can assign for these molecules?
Pardon? Can you come again?
Yeah, any potential for the commercialized molecules in terms of size of the opportunity that we are targeting?
Well, we generally do not talk about specific, you know, size and values and volumes of product, you know, product specific things. So,
sure,
please excuse us for that.
Sure. So second question is, we have also mentioned that we have successfully developed and operationalized azide chemistry. So is it for a particular user segment in terms, apart from the agro and pharma space?
So yeah, I mean, like technologies, when we are talking, these are across these verticals, you know. These technologies are either some of them in engineering technologies, some of them chemistry, then their usage and application is across these, you know, verticals. Like today we are also getting a lot of traction in our, you know, specialty chemical segment like electronics and various other specialty chemical segments. So there also we are able to use these technologies in the scale up and achieving the desired efficiencies and all.
Oh, got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering all the questions and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the great set of numbers, sir. First question on the prevailing situation in the European market. There are indications from bigger agri players that there could be stoppage of production and all that because of the gas concern and all. How should one really think that is an opportunity or is a risk for us?
Well, as far as our sourcing is concerned, I mean, we are not so much so dependent on, you know, raw material sourcing from Europe. So to that extent, I mean, it's not, you know, anyway impacting our projections and our operations and all. But, you know, many a time it is very difficult to anticipate and also estimate the far-reaching impact of this. Yes, you're right that we also hear sometimes some commentaries around, you know, some of these large chemical companies, setups getting impacted because of gas availability. Now, these are very large chemical companies and setups. They may have what kind of linkage to the downstream and upstream, you know, material producers, raw material producers. It is very difficult to, you know, estimate. But directly, there is no kind of impact as such that some of these European that we are importing and that may get impacted. That is not the kind of scenario that we see. In terms of opportunities, well, yes, in general, there are certainly good opportunities for the other geographies, in particularly in specialty chemicals and bulk chemical areas. But as we have always, you know, commented that the kind of business model that we operate, we do not work on spot opportunities kind of a model, you know. We engage with our customers in early stage molecules and this whole process is a very time consuming couple of years process, and we identify opportunities, we screen them according to our principles, and then we engage if we are able to add certain value. So these, you know, ad hoc opportunities in any case, they generally do not fit in our scheme of things. To say the, in short, okay? But yes, in general, there are opportunities for the industry.
Okay. So, for example, if not for the agro, sir, let's say we have been talking about even the electronic space or electronic chemicals or the fine chemical space. which we have already launched few products. And we are also seeing there is a kind of a rise in the inquiries, customer inquiries and all that. And the current trend is also talking about larger outsourcing opportunities for players in India and all that. So given that, have you seen any meaningful change to your order book position from the non-agro base?
Well, non-agro products, as we explained, I mean, obviously there is good traction both in the R&D scale as well as at commercialization. In last few years, we have commercialized several products. But, you know, at commercialization in the initial year, the volumes, values are not very significant. And in any case, in these verticals, we are kind of at the stage where we are building our rapport with these large global customers in the non-FM space and then getting into more strategic and larger products. And at some stage, then we will get into, you know, maybe a longer term understanding for these strategic projects. So in short, they do not have a meaningful representation in the order book today, but we are certainly expecting, the way we are progressing, we are certainly expecting this to become a, you know, reasonable size businesses and components in our overall order book in years to come.
Sure, sir. Just one clarification, sir. See, this quarter that we have seen strong pricing scenario for our product segment and the industry pricing scenario is also like really robust. So 12% what we have indicated for us. So given that and the outlook also indicates that most likely this is a kind of a pricing scenario likely to prevail in the near future given the elevated cost. So is it fair to believe that the guidance what we have given, let's say 20%, considering the volume growth what we have seen in the first quarter and this pricing scenario which is likely to prevail, it is a very conservative number?
that's your perspective, and I think I already explained to the earlier participant that yes, I mean there is good visibility. We are also seeing good traction. And therefore, from 18-20%, we are already indicating 20% plus kind of growth. But at the same time, we all have to be mindful of the uncertainties that we are, the world is facing. So, I'll not say conservative, but yes, this is a very cautious guideline. And we are always, as a company, we are happy to deliver better than what we guide.
Yes. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. The first question, if we look at our journey over last 3 to 5 years in terms of the customer relationships, depth of it, diversity of it, as well as branches of chemistry, our strength there, new product introduction, and deepening and widening the moats, you know. So considerable, and of course, people and R&D capabilities. So number of important strides have been made. If you have to think about what PI would look like 5 years down the line on each of these parameters, and therefore it will have implication on the growth of the firm, the customer centricity and the relationships and the depth and the width of it, products, technology, engineering, chemistry, various segments, whether pharmaceutical or specialty, and of course, agrochem, people, R&D. Where do you think what PI would look like? Not happening of which will leave you dissatisfied, and attaining which PI would feel justifiably proud of what it has done.
Okay, so if I was to take that very well, I mind, Singer. You know, as you see that, you know, I think that's a very good question. It is actually putting out together what is the purpose for which PI would exist 5 years from now. And, you know, we as a leadership team, with whatever we do, we have put ourselves really putting this whole piece out of saying reimagining a healthier planet. You know, reimagining a healthier planet means, I think that's going to be the key, whether it's environment, health, is going to be the key driver, as we see. And you really want to use the enablers of science and technology to do it. And to enable to do that, we are looking at what we call the partnership models, because, you know, in today's world, innovations in science and technology is going to take you to that level. You look at any sector. And how we're going to do that is taking science at work and building partnerships to do that. Because we don't believe that today's solo is going to alone do everything. We need to partner up and put that be driven by the people first approach with the best of learning and growth capabilities, obviously supported with strong capabilities of digital, backed by what we call the ESG framework, which has got to be the way of life at PI. Now, once we start moving in these directions, these become the anchor of the areas of our expertise which are being leveraged in different fragments and segments of the business, whether it's in the area of agri-chemistry, pharma or fine chemicals, eventually becoming a smart life science industry, which is backwards from creativity, a courageous capability to innovate, with a curious mindset to deliver with a care for the planet and human beings. That's really how would I like to say that 5 years from now, we would see PI. And all these factors stack together to create an innovative-led organization. But so, clearly would like to see PI being recoined as a company known, P standing for fashion, I standing for innovation.
And what would you think it will, is the earlier part of the later part of the question, what would you think, therefore, apart from the qualitative dimension of this journey, what it would mean for, in quantitative terms for PI, say 5 years down the line, achieving which it will be a moment of pride, and not being able to fulfill that would leave a lot of tinge of regret.
See, as history talks, we have continued to show growth, and we do believe without growth there is no life. So, but now it's also becoming important, as I made in the earlier part of my statement, we continue to grow that journey and to be always above the mark of the radar if we are to achieve what we said. With the qualitatively, the quantitative growth should be far above what we've been able to do. So based on these various attributes which I put out to you. So that, when added together, should give us an exceptional growth compared to a competitive landscape. That's the way we look at it.
And second question, if you make a critical internal evaluation of all the things, customer relationships, product portfolio, technology, chemistry and other allied strength, various brand segments that we need to serve, our people portfolio, intellectual capital, research. If you make a critical evaluation as to where PI stands today, what will be your candid thoughts on that?
So let me answer that in a different way. You know, if you look at the journey for the last decade, and to look when we look at putting the journey that you're putting for the going forward decade, obviously, you know, when you climb one peak, you always want to set the aspiration to the next higher peak. So the delta is something which we aspire to fill all the time. Each of these stacks at different stages will have a different width and depth which needs to be put together to anchor ourselves to the peak. And what we do is constantly keep evaluating, and as a leadership team, we look at all these facets which you already mentioned to say what we need to proactively invest, what we need to strengthen, and what we need to change, and constantly reinvent ourselves and be adaptable to reaching our objectives. So at different stages, in different scales, we're hitting different shares of maturity. If you were to talk to me 10 years ago, innovation was not something, was the idea. Today's innovation is becoming a culture at PI. Tomorrow it will be led by innovation. So I just take that example. Now for that, the skills, capability, organizational thinking, structure, financial structuring to delivery structures to the kind of partners that we need to work, we're constantly evaluating change. So that's really what I would like to take an example to answer that question. I hope that answers your question.
Yes. Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So can you talk about the recently commercialized product, say for last 3 years, its overall revenue mix and growth of these products?
You're looking for revenue mix of the last 3 year products?
Yeah, so in CSM segment.
Well, we don't have the numbers up front, but typically a freshness index over a 3 year scenario would be about 25 to 30% of the revenue.
Okay. And the growth of this product?
Sorry? Growth rate? I mean, I don't know even the exact growth rate right now, man. Of these products. The growth rate is usually higher than what you see of the older products because these are typically new generation products. So they double their leap every year or two.
And also the base is small. So obviously in the initial years, their growth rate is higher.
Okay. So now say for 75% of your business in CSM, what would be the growth?
Come again?
So 75% of your business, while you are talking about 25% is newly commercialized project in last 3 years. So 75% of the CSM is growing at what rate? In last, say, 3 year CAGR or 5 year CAGR?
I mean, last year we grew by close to, I think, 21%. Before that we grew by 30%. And this year again we are talking about more than 20%. So, yeah, I mean, you can say 25%.
And can you talk, can you, what is the capex and tax rate for FY23?
Money, can you?
Yeah. Capex for FY23 guidance is around 650 crores, which we have planned up.
And tax rate?
Tax rate is, it's a changing thing. It's likely at 16.5%.
Okay, and the last question for domestic business, are we seeing recovery in domestic business in the current month?
Yeah, hi, this is Prashant. Look, our growth this year is driven by new products, and the first quarter usually is more of a generic product because it's a placement for 3 months. And new product sale will start from second quarter onwards because new product usually we don't place in advance, it is closer to the season. So since and almost 6 new products we are launching in FY23, so the growth will pick up from quarter 2. That is what I can say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for time, sir. Sir, in the past, we have spoken about the agri-chem cramps as an opportunity not being very big in terms of $8 to $10 billion, and there could be a time or point where it could kind of stall. Given this backdrop, I mean, since we are also talking about a lot of new molecules that are coming in, can we double our agrochem exports or within the CRAM subset, we think still there's a lot more scope for us to double? Is that a right understanding? Is it possible?
What is the horizon that you think double or triple? I mean, the question is number one, that. And obviously, as you can see, there are three headwinds. Which are becoming tailwinds. I think you look at the China plus one factor. You look at the global challenges in manufacturing and the European segments. And you look at the cost at which innovation is happening, leading to looking at return of capital coming from outsourcing. Looking at these opportunities, I don't see that challenge really. If you're looking at a 20% CAGR, we see ourselves over the next 3 years, which is visible. Doubling should not be a challenge over the next 3 to 5 years. Looking at that scenario and added with the other innovation and ideas that we put together, it is this opportunity of that pie probably growing at double the rate of the industry growth. While the front end is only growing at a single digit, as you would say, the agrochemical industry, but the value chain, which is manufacturing outsourcing probably going double or 2.5 times the rate.
And in any case, you know, our size vis-a-vis the global opportunity is not that big today. So yes, there is certainly scope for, you know, growing at a much higher pace. Also, the overall market is also growing because of these challenges that we discussed. The share of India as a country is also growing. Besides this, as a company, as we explained earlier, we are also continuously working on diversification beyond the agrochemicals. That is another initiative, keeping in mind, 3 to 5 year scenario ahead of us, that we are working in different areas of specialty chemicals, both at research R&D and also commercial scale.
Got it, sir. Sir, on the pharma bit, while we are making our best efforts for closing any deal, we understand that. But is there a plan B at some point where you think that there are no suitable suitors for you? So would you probably start considering direct investments where you start things from scratch? Is that a possibility or any thoughts on that?
Well, by the way, that we are already doing, you know, for last year and a half, we are already working organically what we intended in terms of working on certain intermediates in our R&D, certain scale-ups in our pilots. I mean, we are already doing that. In fact, we commercialized a couple of products and supplied also last year.
Yeah, so we have actually started investing in the whole infrastructure R&D, of building teams and capability. Obviously, plant ABC, and you know, the question is very clear that we need to get into is finding the right mix while we're developing our own strategies. So, yes, but we are looking at this inorganic approach to really bolt up this to a different level. As you would appreciate, that build-up and timeline which come the organic phase will not be that aggressive. We are fully conversant with that, and we are still continuing to do that, but priority will be driven by the inorganic approach. And that we are very much on full throttle with right now.
Got it, sir. And one final question. If you could just help us understand what percentage of our revenues would be from, say, pharma, if you can, and non-pharma, non-agrochemical, anything on the other specialty chemicals as a bucket, if you could give that split. At least a rough sense.
Sorry, can you come back, please?
On our revenues that we have reported, is it possible to say what percentage would be pharma and maybe non-agrochem, that is, let's call it, say, specialty?
I would say that's negligible in terms of bigger scale right now. But as you mentioned, that we are now putting this full throttle investment, and that could probably be looked at differently. And as another step to this area, we've already put a leadership in place only last month, who's Mr. Anil Jain, has joined in as the managing director of PI Health Sciences, where he will be leading this whole initiative with his vast experience from operations to leading the API business, last assignment as the CEO of Sun Pharma API business at a global level. We are clearly looking at various options and structures to integrate to create a synergistic and differentiated solution across the value chain again in the pharma play.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the very best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my questions. Most of them have been answered, sir. Just a couple of clarifications, minor ones. One is on the tax rate. I'm sorry, I couldn't quite understand the guidance for fiscal 23. Also, just wanted to check that in the past few quarters, the tax rate has been rather on the lower side, you know, 17-18% or so. So what is driving this and sort of what do we see as a more sustainable number over the medium term?
Yeah, thanks. On the tax side, this is driven by the SEZ eligibility and the revenues of SEZ which are growing, which you have seen and our exposure revenues are growing. This is where the trigger for getting a efficient or a better tax rate. As we look at the thing, we are looking at around 16.5% of the effective tax rate during this fiscal. Depends upon the growth of the export. This is the first quarter, very difficult to judge, but this is where we are.
You said 16.5, sir? 16.5?
16.5.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much. And the other one I just had was on the, acquisition, I mean, any rough timelines you could share with us, you know, by when you might expect to get closer to completion of that process?
Well, we are actively evaluating, and I think you can imagine that it is very difficult to put a timeline, but yes, we are very actively evaluating certain shortlisted opportunities.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions. Sir, first is on our gross block to asset turnover. Sir, you have mentioned that the endeavor of the company will be to achieve close to 2.2x plus in future. What we want to understand, sir, definitely it must have some lag of close to 2 years to 2.5 years to fully utilize that potential. With the current run rate, and you have committed roughly 600, 650 crore kind of capex for the current year, it means that even at the full potential, it can add close to 1200 to 1300 crore rupees in terms of revenues. Sir, just the concern is that going forward, I mean, over next 2 to 3 years, if we are not able to seal any deal right now or there is some further delays, aren't we future ready, or isn't there going to be gaps in terms of future growth if we are not fully investing in a capex or a greenfield capacities are not being created for the future growth?
Yeah, so good question, Rohan. But we need to actually combine few answers to get the complete answer, because, you know, one side we are also talking about improving throughputs and efficiencies of our existing plant, as we discussed earlier, you know, with the earlier participant. And there is good opportunities there and good scope there that we are working towards. The second is this investment that we are talking, which, you know, we have decided around, say, 650 odd crores of investment in capacities and expansions. And going
to the previous, if you look at the previous 2 years, we've done very aggressive investments.
Yeah.
Which is also available to pick up these capacities.
Yeah. And thirdly, that as we are moving forward and the kind of fractions that we are seeing, we can always review this situation on investments in the coming quarters as well. So therefore, there is no question of, staying behind the cycle in terms of investment and in terms of opportunities and all. As a company, we have always invested ahead of time. And that's what we have seen over, say, last 5-10 years, that we have always invested ahead of time, and that's the reason we have always been able to also catch up the cycle. And this is what we are doing today, if you see our growth rate for last 3-4 years.
So only because when we compare our capex plans compared to some other industry players, they are making an investment up to the tune of close to 2,000 crore plus and still much lower in terms of investment. While we are definitely sitting on a huge pile of cash, and still our investment compared to other companies still remains muted. So that was a concern, that aren't we going slow on the capex, though you always mentioned that there is a potential improvement in asset turnover, but that can definitely have some limitations. So if that concern was definitely on the compared to the industry over next 3 years, can we be behind in terms of growth? Second, sir, in your presentation only you mentioned that there is a surge in new inquiries and products scale up driving the growth of CSM exports. Sir, this is something incremental you are seeing in last 1 year or experiencing it, or it is an old thing which has been going on and that is driving the growth for the CSM exports?
Before this, let me also, reflect on your earlier point. So when we say 150-odd crore, this is the investment in organic business and core business. I'm not adding here the kind of close to whatever 2000 crore that we are in any case, targeting towards this inorganic opportunities and our initiatives in the pharma. So if you sum it up, then it will be more than 2000 crore, isn't it? Now coming to your point on inquiries, yes, there is certainly a surge in inquiries over last couple of years. This year also that trend has continued. Maybe Atul, you can put some light on it.
Yeah, so in terms of the inquiries, the trend in the inquiries is showing a very positive trend. In this quarter, we have received a good amount of inquiries from both AgChem and non-AgChem, AgChem space. And there is a good visibility about, these inquiries turning into the good opportunity for us.
Thanks, sir. Thank you very much for answering the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you and good evening. So in terms of the CSM growth, in the last couple of calls, we were given to understand that we are not laying as much store on the order book and the capacity creation to MVP as you were before. So in terms of the growth you have achieved this quarter, can you give us some color on how much of that was from the order book, how much of that was from business you grew as a say merchant business for the year, and how much of the new MPP capacity has already been, monetized in the current quarter's growth?
Well, to be honest, we'll not have these numbers in front of us. But yeah, significant portion of this business is from the order book, okay? Which also will tell you that the fill-up of order book is also continuing. If we are delivering at this pace 40% growth and delivering this kind of business in a quarter and still, maintaining around $1.4 billion of order book, this tells you that the order filling is also continuing at the same pace. In terms of MPP utilization, can you please repeat your question?
So, the two MPPs you had commissioned in the second quarter, has it been fully utilized? How much of that is utilized and what is the kind of headroom you have in terms of either volumes or, the synthesis that you can do with those two new facilities?
Yeah, so currently they are utilized say, close to 55-60%. But as the volumes of these molecules will scale up, obviously we will surely be seeing more than 85-odd percent, 85-90% utilization in a year and year and a half.
Well, the second thought is on the domestic business. We saw a lot of traction in the fourth quarter, possibly because of the Akira brand as well as the Rabi contribution. So how do we read the potential for growth? This is because you have launched a lot of products last year. And is there going to be some kind of back-ended growth in Rabi because your horticulture portfolio is perhaps skewed towards your fruits and vegetables? So is there a seasonality there? And do you see the traction based on the, traction we see in the industry overall based on the pickup in monsoon and the sowing pattern improving from the second quarter onwards?
Yeah, so a good question. As I said earlier, yes, we have launched a new product, including the one which you mentioned of Kira for wheat herbicide around 3 years back. All these products are having a good traction. As I said earlier, most of these products are basically the season is starting from Q2, and we are tracking as per the plan in all these products. That is what I can see. So yes, we are optimistic and we are tracking as per the plan.
Okay, if I may just squeeze in one last thought, in terms of the global environment for your potential customers in agrochemicals and other areas, to give business for CSM companies like yours, what is the kind of expectation you have on the budgets, say over the next 2-3 years, given that everybody is facing headwind, but at the same time, this year we are seeing a lot of, you know, positive tailwinds for growth. So do you see the inquiries and the flow of business continuing unless we have some, you know, major setback, you know? So do you see some continuity in terms of the momentum over the next 2-3 years for order flows for CSM and for your company?
Yes, I mean, we are seeing very positive commentary from all these large global customers of ours. As and when we are meeting them, we are hearing very positive commentary. Obviously, this is also driven from commodity prices in general, but also the new launches that are being made by these companies. And the good part is that if we look at our product portfolio, we are participating in many of these very interesting new launches and some of the, you know, big blockbusters of theirs, either through AI or intermediate. So yeah, I mean, we are getting very positive commentary, and this, I mean, if you track commentary of these global companies, you'll also kind of note that most of them are giving a very positive commentary, not only for this year, but next few years.
Thank you. We'll take one last question, which is from the line of Isha Agarwal from Riddhi Capital. Please go ahead.
Opportunity. So, just one question from my side. Like, as you see the CSM outlook to be very strong and we have strong order pipelines, inquiries in our CSM, so do we see the order book improving? Like, will it add directly to the order book?
Yes, so we certainly expect this to reflect in order book expansion improvement in coming quarters. Although, as I said, maybe in the last call or the previous quarter call, that given the current uncertain environment, both the customer as well as the suppliers always kind of want a normalization of scenario before we get into a very long-term kind of contract and understanding. But yes, having said so, I mean, given the kind of pipeline that we have and the way it is progressing towards commercialization, we expect this to reflect in the order book position as well.
Yeah, so I was just confirming, like, with the present order book of $1.4 billion, we expect to see it in the numbers, like, to improve it to the previous numbers of $1.5 billion, like.
I couldn't make out what exactly is your question.
I just wanted to confirm that as you mentioned, that yes, we see the present inquiry adding it to our order book. So from the recent levels of $1.4 billion, we see it to the previous level, last year levels of $1.5 billion, or it should be at the present level?
No, so it would certainly improve from the present level. Now, whether it will become 1.5 or 1.75 or $2 billion, it is difficult to, you know, comment right now, because you can imagine that when these products progress from R&D scale to the commercial scale, you know, during this period, a lot of volume estimates are made by the customers, and then commercial negotiations and discussions happen on price and all. So basis those finalized terms, both volumes and on pricing, at certain point we will be able to quantify that, okay, I mean, if, 10 out of 20, 30 inquiries are progressing and moving towards commercialization, what is the total value of these, products and all. So it is difficult to quantify at this point, but what I can tell you is that it will surely reflect in improvement of order book where we are today.
Okay, thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you to all our friends who were there on this call for your continued interest in PI and also your all good wishes and blessings. Thank you so much and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of PI Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.